As we continue in our series during this season of Thanksgiving, today we're going to be addressing the need to thank God for what He's presently doing in our world. Now, sometimes you'll hear people say, "Where is God? Look at all the trouble, look at all the problems, look at all the struggles." And they don't realize many times that He is presently at work, even in the midst of those things. Now, before we dive in any further, let's review the words of David, the man after God's own heart, in Psalm 100. This is kind of the foundational text we've been looking at. In verse 1 of Psalm 100, David, evidently almost overcome by something that he's feeling, he's experiencing, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name, for the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." That's even continuing on to this generation and those generations to follow should Jesus delay His coming. His love endures. He's faithful. Now, hopefully, those who were with us last week will recall from this text the motivation that's here to give a magnitude of gratitude to our Lord for what He has done in the past. Because remember, in creation, He made us. And recreation, that recreation, for all those who accept His Son Jesus as their Savior and Lord. Trusting in God and Christ, we are born again into a family of faith. Is that worth giving God some praise for? Hallelujah for that new birth, that new life we have in Christ. As David says, we are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Now, there's so much that I'd like to say about this, but I'm going to honor some time together here and try to be concise. What's David mean, the sheep of His pasture? Well, thankfully, he gives us some insight into how he felt about that, being one of the sheep of the Lord's pasture in Psalm 23. And this passage, again, so many are familiar with, and we even visited it on Friday, matter of fact, at a eulogy service, where David says, "The Lord is my shepherd." How many of you could say that this morning, that the Lord's your shepherd? He says, "I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He guides me along the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. For Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Now, if I had to sum up David's words, it might be this. The Lord provides for His sheep, and He protects His sheep from the enemy. He offers healing and comfort and peace and security to those who are in His fold. Not just for a time, but for all time. Isn't that good news? Isn't that something to celebrate? Isn't that something to give Him some gratitude for this morning? Isn't it? The Lord, our shepherd, deserves a magnitude of gratitude, doesn't He? For being our shepherd, for watching over us, for protecting us and providing for us. And so many times we maybe don't realize all He's doing for us. But He is at work in our lives, and He's watching over every lamb in His flock. That's good news. But notice, according to David, the sheep of His pasture go through some dark valleys once in a while. Enemies do threaten the Lord's lambs from time to time. Yet if we trust his guidance, the Lord will lead us out of those valleys and deliver us from vicious attacks. That's what the good shepherd does. How many of you have experienced that? In fact, listen to Jesus in John 10, 11 through 15. He says there, and this is just, I love this. He says, I am the good shepherd. Who's talking? Jesus. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, well, he abandons the sheep. He runs away. Then the wolf attacks and the flock and they scatter. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and he cares nothing for the sheep. But verse 14 says, this is a contrast. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Wow. The Lord Jesus identifies himself as that good shepherd. Not just a shepherd, he's the good shepherd, the good shepherd. He's a shepherd that David knew. He's a shepherd that Jesus is acknowledging himself to be, even though David didn't know him by that name at the time. This shepherd, this good shepherd, Jesus cares so much for his sheep that he offers his own life to save them. But who again are the sheep of his pasture? Who specifically are they? Skip down to verse 27 of John 10 for the answer. Jesus says there, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. Now, I'm emphasizing something here. Because Jesus is promising again security, peace as the good shepherd to those who are in his flock. So take some personal inventory. Do you know Jesus? He says his sheep know him. Do you know Jesus? I'm not just talking about do you know about Jesus. Do you know Jesus? Do you have a relationship with Jesus? Do you listen to Jesus? He says his sheep do. Do you listen to him? Do you listen to what he says, or does it go in one ear and out the other? Do you take him at his word? Do you take what he says to heart? And do you follow his direction? See, that's what his sheep do. Isn't that what he said? If that's you, you are one of his sheep, and you have secure promise of his provision, protection, and eternal rest. Wow. Isn't that reason to shout for joy? Isn't that reason to express gratitude to the good shepherd? The Apostle Peter has some things to say about what blessings we have from this good shepherd. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 6. Listen to what he says. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that's ready to be revealed in the last time. Now here, he says, in this, in what? The new birth and the living hope, you greatly rejoice. Though now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. You may go through some valleys, folks. these trials, he says, have come so your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and result in praise, in glory, in honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have seen him, you love him. I'm sorry. He says, though you've not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Did you get that? Because of who we are and what we have received in Jesus, our good shepherd, already, joined with the anticipation of what we have yet to inherit, we're filled with inexpressible and glorious joy. Now, I've mulled over this expression with you before. I'm not sure it can be adequately explained with words. It's inexpressible. You hear that? Inexpressible and glorious joy. But I've seen glimpses of this kind of joy. I've seen it in the eyes of a bride and groom on their wedding day. They don't have to say a word. I see it. I've seen it on the face of a mother who's holding her newborn child. She doesn't have to say a word. I see it. I've seen it on the faces of those who, again, experience great blessings in life without speaking a word. They express it. I've seen it on the smile that just won't quit after someone rises from the waters of baptism. I've seen it and heard it in the shout of glee from a child who's just received a special gift. See, the idea is if we're filled with such joy, it's got to spill out in some fashion. There's going to be an expression on our face. There's going to be expression in our tone, in our whole approach to life. It's going to spill out. It's going to show. And according to David in Psalm 100, it's very likely to be with a magnitude of gratitude. Thinking on that, I want you to listen to how the Message renders 1 Corinthians 14, 23 through 25. And when I start reading it, you might think, well, what are you reading that for? Just bear with me. It says, if you come together as a congregation, have we done that this morning? And some unbelieving outsiders walk in on you as you're all praying in tongues, unintelligible to each other and to them, won't they assume you've taken leave of your senses and get out of there as fast as they can? But if some unbelieving outsiders walk in on a service where people are speaking out God's truth plainly, those words will bring them up against the truth and probe their hearts, because you know it. They're going to be on their faces before God, recognizing that God is among you. So perhaps someone in the sound of my voice this morning is like many who've heard about Jesus, at least a little bit, but they don't know him. And because they don't know him, they've chosen to follow someone else's lead or hang with another flock that may or may not even have a shepherd, let alone the good shepherd. If so, I want to be very clear this morning, and that's what Paul is telling the church to be very, very clear in our proclamation. Our collective message today is meant to encourage folks who are not understanding who Jesus is to get an understanding of who Jesus is to us, first and foremost. Everything we communicate, whether in song or in proclamation, in prayer, through communion, it resonates with the fact that no one else but Jesus can save us. No one else but Jesus can give us peace and joy, like Peter is talking about and that David spoke about. No one else but him. And listen closely, no one else can lead us to eternal rest, to those green pastures that aren't just temporary, but are forever. Only the good shepherd Jesus can do that. And if we know the good shepherd Jesus, like David knew the good shepherd, and like Jesus wants us to know him, guess what's going to pour out? A magnitude of gratitude. At this time, I'm going to ask someone who knows that all of what I said is true to come to the platform. Many of you already know Don Johnquist, and he has some things he would like to share this morning in the way of a personal testimony. Don? Where did he go? Donald? What? Connie, can't you watch your husband? Okay, well, while we're waiting on Donald, I want to share a little video with you, very short, okay? Would you share that? And then we'll come back to this.
Jane, based upon your confession of Jesus as the one who saved your soul, rose again on the third day for you to have life eternal, I'm going to baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Woo!
Gene, would you stand? Now, Tammy, I think, is she back with the kids? She's with the kids. But that was Gene being baptized here just last week. Thank you, Gene. And his wife, Tammy. You can be seated. But again, these are things we celebrate and we give thanks to God for. And you know what? Once again, there are a couple that I thought about. I couldn't help but think about that expression of joy on their faces. This guy was grinning from ear to ear, you know, and his ears are far apart. No, I'm teasing. But what a joy to see that. So I just wanted to share that with you. And now, Don, if you'd come up here, okay. I introduced this man already, but so he needs no introduction. All right. Don, if you would share, please. Thank you. You did? Oh, wait. Your calling's coming right now. This is gonna be, I'll give you a hug.
Wow, last time I was in front of the church was when Connie and I got married a year ago. I wanted to share a little bit with you where I come from, how I ended up here. It's really a very godly story. And I was wondering if they could put the song on the overhead, the last song that we sang after communion. Is it possible? And you can put all those words up there? Yeah. Is there a way to put them up there all at once, the whole song at once? No? Okay. That song really impacted me as we were sitting here. That song means a lot to me. But I've been coming here a year and a half now. And I just really felt this need to share a little bit where I come from. And To me, testimonies are very important to not only share, but to hear other people's testimonies. And especially when you get to be my age and older, there's so many things that the Lord has brought you through in your life that you forget the significance and the importance that they had. And so by sharing your testimony, you constantly remind yourself of what the Lord has done for you. I was going to say, there's no way I'm going to get through this without shedding tears. Some tears of sadness, but a lot of tears of joy. And the song is those words scroll through are such a reminder. So I want to share the joy, although it doesn't seem like it right now, that the Lord has brought to my life. And my faith in him that has brought me here. And I can't do that with going back many, many years to what I call BC. And that stands for before Connie. And I know Connie, hi dear, is sitting there saying, please, don't say anything to embarrass us. She knows that I get overly silly. She knows sometimes crazy words fall out of my mouth, and so I know she's saying that. So I just kind of want to get her to loosen up a little bit, and hey, it's going to be okay. So before Connie go back, I'm just going to touch on some of that stuff because it's all part of who I am and where I am today. I got out of the Army in January 1975. Went back to work my old job. I was a mechanic for a big Harley-Davidson dealer in St. Paul, Minnesota. And through working there, go to parties over at one of my coworkers' homes and met what I didn't know at the time was going to be my... my future wife. It took me, I don't know, 6 months to a year to just build up the courage to ask her out. She had three little kids from a previous marriage. But finally I did, and we got married in October 76. And it was about a year later that we both accepted the Lord, and a short time after that, we both got baptized and were filled with the Holy Spirit. And then we had two more kids together. So there were seven of us. And all the kids, the three older kids that accepted the Lord at the same time we did, and of course younger kids, not until later when they became old enough, of course. And you know, so many of our testimonies end there, but actually that's where it all begins, because that's where we really start experiencing what the Lord can and will do for us if we allow him to. And our walk with the Lord and our walk in our personal lives are filled with what I call mountaintop experiences and valley experiences. And some of those mountaintop experiences are spectacular. You know, we're just kind of coasting in the Lord, resting in his peace and love, and being grateful for what he's done for us. The valley experiences are where we need him and we really meet him. And some of those valley experiences can be extremely low, and others are not as low. And it's in those times where we cry out to the Lord, we have the Lord. Are we going to choose in that time to cry out to the Lord and trust the Lord to heal us, help us, whatever? And without going into a bunch of details, I'm going to jump ahead and just say that my family was blessed with being able to have more than their fair share of valley experiences. And through those valley experiences is where my faith really grew. Where I can truly say, no matter what you go through in life, the Lord will meet you and carry you through. And I'm not going to go into any details, but I'm going to say some things that some of you may find kind of graphic, but it's all to make sure you understand what the Lord has really done for me and my family. It's to give him all the glory. And I just thank him that he brought me to a point where I was a willing vessel, that I realized I needed him and wanted him. So like I said, I'm just going to, in my family, we have had to go through just about every type of crisis, tragedy you could ever imagine in a family. Murder, rape, suicide, terminal illness, deliverance from deadly illness. There may be more. Those are the huge ones. And through all that, my family is still intact. We never left each other. We never walked away from each other. That doesn't mean there weren't struggles. That doesn't mean it wasn't tough. It means that God was there. And through each one of those, faith just built more and more and more. And I'm open to talk about any one of those issues, but that isn't what we're here for. I just want you to capture the idea of the faith that the Lord has built within me to bring me to Rockford here. My wife was in, I was looking back through things. Starting about 2015, I saw some things in my wife that gave me cause for concern. And it started coming more and more to a head in fall of 2017, she was diagnosed with Parkinson's. Well, you know, every one of us knows somebody with Parkinson's, and they go on to live long, full lives, 15, 20 years in some cases. So that's what my family was prepared for. We tore out the house, started making her wheelchair accessible, you know, preparing for a long-term wheelchair and everything. And by the doctor visit in April 2018, she was re-diagnosed with not only Parkinson's, but an extremely rare type of Parkinson's. That medication doesn't work, nothing slows it down, it moves like a freight train. And that's what she had. Spring of 2019, my mother was 88, 89 years old, and she'd just come to spend a couple months with us, and my dad had just recently died. And 2019 was the real transition spring of 2000, fall of 2018, the doctor said, you had better look at getting her into a facility real quick. Spring of 2019, April, she said, like before the snow flies. In May, my wife was walking around the house with a walker and talking and laughing. By July, she was in a wheelchair and could not feed herself and take care of herself. By October, she had to go in a nursing home. I was having to lift on her all the time, feed her. So I spent, and my family, three and a half years alone. And she needed the highest level of care. But I thank the Lord that even in the midst of all that, she couldn't move, she couldn't walk, she couldn't talk, she couldn't care for herself at all. Her mind was still great. And I could laugh with her and joke with her. Even in the midst of that, the Lord gave me things to hold on to. Sure, we questioned the Lord, why? You know, this is a very godly woman. But his faith and his word were there. We could visit with her, we could have fun with her, except through COVID. But going through that process, you know, I began to ask myself, do I want to be alone the rest of my life? Do I want to be in a relationship? Lord, what do I want to do? Help me out here, Lord. Well, I had kind of decided on my own that, heck, when she, Parkinson's, who a disease that is not normally considered terminal with her, was. So I knew there was an end there. Saw her close to death three times, four times over that time frame, and saw the Lord even rise her up again. Not restore her, but rise her to a level of health. And so I just always questioned the Lord, what should I do? Where should I go? We were part of the same church for 40 years. We lived in the same house for 40 years. Now I got a house that I remodeled to prepare for my wife to be there in a wheelchair that she never got to see. So I started to make plans as if I was going to be alone. I went out and bought the new truck, and you know, I was going to spend the rest of my life RVing. Well, I didn't know quite what to do. I couldn't ask that, and I could never answer that question if I wanted to be involved in another relationship. I couldn't answer that. I still had my wife there. Within a week after she passed, I had my answer. And I had decided that I can't stay in my house anymore. And the Lord had assured me, maybe it's time to do some dating. Within a week, all the kids affirmed that. I wasn't looking for their permission, but I was looking for their blessing. Because I didn't know, I didn't want to move ahead without them holding me up along the way. So, first time in my life, I decided to date somebody besides my wife. And that was really some weird experiences at almost 70 years old to be to be dating and going through that. And but you know what's interesting is the Lord reassured me that I was going the right way. I was doing what he wanted me to do. And I had the faith to continue moving. And I remember telling the Lord, you know, when we go through those valley experiences and we want the Lord to help us, sometimes you can kind of make a mental list of what we want. And Lord, help me to do this, help me to do that. All my mental list included, you know, Lord, I get involved in another relationship. I'm going to move. I'm ready to move. Where am I going to move to? Here's the states I want to live in. Here's the states I don't want to live in. Guess which was at the top of the list for not wanting to live in? Right under California. And I'd gone through something like this before in my life with my wife and family. And I really just threw up my hands to the Lord in joy and said, Lord, whatever. And wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do, I am open to that. And bam, it happened. Connie and I were both on the same dating website, and it's important to understand that I had the faith to trust the Lord that he was going to bring me somewhere, even if it's not where I wanted to go, that there was going to be a blessing in me doing it. And I want to honor the Lord in what I do and in everything I do. And I can't tell the Lord, no, I'll go here, but not there, there, but not there. And I just decided this is it. So Connie and I were both on the same dating website, and you know, you get to read a little bit about people and stuff, and I saw that she had clicked on my information to read about me, and I thought, what the heck, she's in Illinois. What is this lady from Illinois doing? Because like I said, it wasn't on my list. Well, come to find out, I mean, this is the glory of the Lord. It tells how far away you are from each other, and it was like 645 miles. The Lord blinded Connie, and she saw 45 miles. And I actually had to draw her maps, you know, say, you know, and show her. And we became really good friends really fast. And, you know, within a couple of weeks, we knew that we were onto something. And Connie was like the third or fourth lady I dated. And so I decided to make a trip down here. And I remember especially driving through Eau Claire, Wisconsin, crying out to the Lord and saying, Lord, I don't know what you're doing. I'm honoring you. I told you wherever, whatever. Here I am driving to Illinois. I don't know what to think of this. But it was I was joyful, you know, because I knew the Lord was in all that. And I had rented an Airbnb right here in Rockford, if you're familiar with that. And I just rented it for 3 days. And I thought, okay, if I don't like here, I'm out of here. And we had already known that we were on the same page politically and in believers in the Lord and other issues and stuff. So I went and checked into my Airbnb. Connie had agreed to come up and meet me. And she pulled up out front and she got out of the car. And it's like, I froze. It's like, you know, and I just had all this turmoil going on inside of me. And it just, Connie and I talked about it still frequently. You know, we had meshed so good on the phone, we talked a lot, and she was quite stunned by the fact that I was, had no words. And so we started singing 3 days. I changed it, ended up being 2 weeks and a week and then 2 weeks. And then I had a trip planned to South Dakota with my family and came back from that and never left. And Connie and I both knew within a couple weeks that this was a serious relationship. and we knew the Lord's blessing was in it. And my kids, after I got back from South Dakota, we planned a trip to Minnesota so Connie could meet my kids, and they all just loved her. And it took a little longer, you know, for Connie's family to get on board, and eventually they did, and so that's where, and we decided to continue with our desire to get married. And I ended up at this church because this is where Connie went to church. This is where you guys supported her when she lost her husband. You helped her, you supported her. There was a lot of love in that. And I'll be honest with you, I'm used to a church that is a little bit larger and quite a bit more diverse in age and a little more lively than this. But the love you guys have here just is overwhelming. And I don't want to go anywhere else. I believe the Lord brought me here for Connie and I to be together, but also because of the love in this church that you guys showed to her and the acceptance, you know, that you've shown to me slash us. And I want that to be an encouragement to you guys. I know we're going through some things. We need to grow. We need to make some changes. But please get out there and do what you can to spread the Lord, spread his word, and spread the love that this church has to be able to give to others. That is a huge, huge asset. Your kindness, your friendliness, that's all part of what people are going to see here. We just have to be bold, be willing to share who we are, what we are. Share your testimony. Don't be afraid to tell people what the Lord has done in your life, even if you got to shed tears in front of 100 people. I mean, it's just how it is. We need to know how the Lord touches you and how the Lord moves you, what he's done in your life, that you can bring it to others. That's all I got.
Now, this has come about partially because Don and I had a conversation some time ago, and I was asking him again where he felt the Lord was leading him and as far as his relationship with the congregation here. And he really said he was praying about that very thing and about what God wanted him to do, what God had for him to do here in this community and with this church. And that led to the idea again that Don would like to commit to the church. He'd like to place membership with the church here officially, to commit to the body here, to be one with us and to work with us and to do the best we can together to share the love of Christ in this community. So we're pleased about that. I want to pray with Don about that, and then we're going to just move on, okay? Father God, thank you for Don. Thank you for his heart. Father, I thank you for his transparency, his honesty, his openness about the things he's been through. As David said, there's valleys, dark valleys, but he recognizes that, Lord, you were with him. You got him through those things. You gave him the strength and the peace he needed in the midst of those things. And Father, that you have a plan and purpose for him. I'm so thankful for you bringing him and Connie together. I'm so thankful that you brought him into our lives. Father, as he commits to the body here, may we commit to him, yes, again, Lord, to work together to serve you and to bring honor and glory all to Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name and trust it will be so. And amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
Thank you.
All right. I'll put you to work. Thank you, Don. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. We're going to stand for a benediction in the song to follow at this point. But I just want to say this as the praise team's coming forward. Is we've been talking about expressions of gratitude. And I know Don apologized for the tears, but could you even see there those were expressions of gratitude? As even in the midst of his tears, he was saying, but I had joy. And God's brought me joy. And he brought me peace. And he helped me through those hard, hard times. Even our tears can be expressions of our gratitude to God. How about that? Okay? The benediction comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11 and 14. Aim for perfection. Listen to my appeal. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let's sing.